CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. This is Fired Up with CJ. Our guest today is founder of Positive Parenting Solutions, sharing her book, If I Have to Tell You One More Time, The Revolutionary Program to Get Kids to Listen Without Nagging. I'm Cassandra with CBS Sky Radio, and we are going to go right back to CJ and our guest today, Amy.
Welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show. You know what I love is how both you and I can get immediately to, if I have to tell you one more time.
I know. That is the best title for a book, if ever I heard one.
Exactly. You can get into that energy almost immediately.
Right. I have a family member, and I'm going to tell you, she was the threatener. Mm-hmm. And it drove me so crazy, I promised I never would be. That's why I have the look and the stare.
To do is a look.
But I love that. If I have to tell you one more time.
Exactly. So it's the beginning of the school year, and, you know, my sons, I said, so tomorrow is school, and he had his head on the table. I said, what's going on? You look sad. And he said, I said, don't you want school to start? And he said, no. And I said, why? He's like, it's just my homework, Mom. I just can't do it.
How sweet is that?
I know, and you know what? It's funny because parents dread it too, because so many parents have been hooked into doing the homework for the kids. And at second grade, I just refuse. I'm like, I'm not doing your homework. You're going to school. The teachers are supposed to teach you.
Right. And we can't anymore. It's too complicated.
Math is way too complicated. I don't even understand half of it anyways. So today we have Amy McCready, a positive parenting expert, and she's going to offer her advice on how to work with your kids to get them to do their homework without you nagging, yelling, or reminding them. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you so much. And this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart as well. I have two teenage boys, a 10th grader and a 12th grader, and I feel that same sense of dread that they do at the beginning of the school year. I don't do their homework for them. I'm beyond the point where I can even help them anymore, but it's just that dread of every night, the hours of homework the kids have to put in. It's overwhelming for all of us, I think.
Yeah. Now, is this map again back to the belonging and significance that we were talking about? Is that why they're dreading? How is this map back to the Adler, or does it? And does it map to something else?
Well, it does in a couple of ways, which I'll get into. But I think, you know, part of it is it's just not fun, right?
Yes.
You know, I think maybe there's that, you know, 5% of kids who love homework and come home and can't wait to get it done. But for the 95% of kids, it's just not fun. And it doesn't matter how you slice it, it's not fun. And I think kids today get so much homework that it just becomes overwhelming for them. But that's a whole show in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I think as we look at homework battles, you know, there are several reasons that homework battles occur. And sort of starting out sort of very broadly, homework battles are more prevalent in families where education is valued, which is, I'm sure, all of your listeners, you know, families place a high value on education. And there is a history of power struggles within the family, a lot of power struggles between the parents and the kids. Mm-hmm. So if you've got those things going to begin with, believe me, you're going to have homework battles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, sort of going down a little bit further, depending on the age of the child and depending on what's going on with the child, there can be a number of reasons that you have homework battles. And digging to find out why is part of the key. So for some kids, particularly younger kids, it's very much an attention-seeking behavior. You know, Mommy, I need you to sit with me and do it with me. I need you to go over all the problems with me, and you have to sit there for the hour while they're doing spelling words and everything else. Mm-hmm. That is incredibly frustrating for parents, but it's an attention-seeking behavior.
Mm-hmm.
For some kids, it's very much a power behavior. Again, they know that Mom and Dad care a lot about grades, and they care a lot about homework, and it's very important. So it is the perfect opportunity for kids to dig in their heels and basically say, you can't make me, because that is a fact. You can't make them. You can sit them at the desk. You can stand there with your hands on your hips and hover over them, but you can't make them do it. They have to do it.
Is this revenge? Then, you talk about revenge. Is this getting revenge? Is that the intention with that, you can't make me?
Yes. So very often power is that you can't make me. But then, you know, in families where perhaps there's been a lot of punishment or the power struggle is really, really intense, it escalates to revenge, where it's basically, I'm going to fail just to spite you. It's beyond, I'm going to dig in my heels and drag my feet and wait till the very last minute because I know it drives you crazy, to I'm going to fail just to spite you.
Yeah, I'm going to screw you up.
Well, I'm sorry?
I'm going to screw you up by screwing myself up first.
Exactly, which doesn't make any sense, but, you know, from the child's perspective, that's how he can seek revenge on the parent. And then there's also, you know, for a, unfortunately, a large number of kids who perhaps have undiagnosed learning differences. And as they get into the higher grades, the work becomes more difficult and they can't keep up. And, you know, very often they put on this face of false bravado, well, I give up. You know, math is lame. I don't care. Reading stinks. I don't like it. And so they kind of give up because they can't keep up. So from the parent's perspective, you really kind of have to dig and find out what is going on with that child because, you know, how awful if the child has a learning difference that you're not aware of and, you know, you're treating it like it's a power struggle when it's really not that. So digging a little bit deeper is really important.
Okay, so I'm your kid. I'm your 10th grader. How would you dig in? I'm not doing my homework. I'm like, you know, doing whatever, playing on the Xbox, going on Facebook or Instagram or whatever 10th graders do. How would you start the dialogue with me to assess what's happening if it's one of these problems that we talked about?
Well, there are a couple of things. The first thing that you have to decide is who owns this problem? All right, so who really owns this problem? If he doesn't do his homework, who is that going to affect? Now, we are all emotionally wrapped up and invested in that, but really, he owns that problem. So that is part of the process, is saying, you know what, homework is your responsibility. You are in 10th grade or 8th grade or 6th grade, whatever it happens to be, and it's not my job to remind you about your homework or do your homework or make sure you get it done. That is your responsibility. So sort of putting that monkey on his shoulders to begin with is the most important thing, and what goes along with that is if you choose to not do it, you will have to accept the consequences of that. You will have to explain to the teacher why it's not done. You will get the failing grade. Not me. That's your issue. Now, obviously, we don't want it to get to that point. So some things that we can do sort of, you know, in addition to putting it on their shoulders is setting up really good when-then routines. And you probably remember this from the book. A when-then routine is structured so that the yucky stuff, the not-so-desirable tasks, have to be done before the more enjoyable parts of the day. So a when-then routine after school is when your homework is finished, and I've checked it, and your family contributions are completed, then you can enjoy your TV time, or then we can leave for soccer practice, or then you can have your electronics, whatever it happens to be.
Okay, I'm going to be a 10th grader. But why can't I decide when I do it? I mean, why do you get to decide what I get to do? Free will.
Exactly. And that is an important point. So bring them into the process. Recognize, okay, this child obviously feels like I'm being too controlling, so give him a say. You know, so let's talk about that. Let's discuss what the routine is going to be.
Okay.
And if he decides that he wants to come home and have some chill-out time and have a little bit of Facebook time and then do his homework, and that gets done every night reliably, great. No problem. However, if that is not getting done, if I find that I'm nagging and reminding you about that, then you have lost the privilege of exerting your free will in this area, and we're going to have to go back to a when-then routine.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what we did. They said, okay, well, you don't want, why, you know, but sometimes you just want to chill. Why do we have to just do homework right away? And I said, all right, what would you recommend? And they said, well, we'd recommend that we can, you know, have control over when we do what. And I said, okay, But I'll tell you what, you can operate having this choice, but if you find that, I find if you're not doing well on your grades or your homework, then we go back to doing it my way, because ultimately your grades are important. I know you may not believe that, but they are. And it solved the problem. We haven't had any issues. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. You want them to have ownership for their success.
Yep.
And so the more that you can get their buy-in whenever you're creating routine, you know, even if you're doing a when-then routine and you give them and say that you've decided, all right, when homework is finished and family contributions are done, then we can leave for soccer or football practice, or then you can have your technology time. Even around the when stuff, you can still give them some power. So they decide where they do their homework, or they get to pick which family contributions they want to do from a list of options.
Yeah.
You know, the more that you can get them bought into the process and feel like they have some control over their own world,
yeah,
you know, that's a big component of significance, is feeling like you have some control over your own life. That is, you're going to have a much better result.
Yeah, because they can operate with their free will. I love that. So Amy McCready here talking about her book. If I have to tell you one more time, the revolutionary program to get kids to listen without nagging. Next up, we're going to be talking about that kid that you have to remind about everything. Like, did you put your whatever? Did you put your gym shoes in your backpack? Can you make sure to bring up your laundry out? You know, all those kind of things. So Amy's going to give us advice on how to deal with the forgetful child. To make sure to get other shows like this, go to www.fireitupwithcj.com and check out our parenting section. We'll be right back.